Peek and Review, a podcast focused on innovative and creative ideas in the legal profession. I'm Marlene Gebauer.
And I'm Greg Lambert. And even though we swore we would never try to do this again, here we are. We're going to try and do a kind of a fast catch-up episode because we actually haven't been in the same room in
We've
a while.
We've been on the road, both of us, for, you know, either personal or professional reasons for quite some time.
Yeah. One of my professional reasons last week was to go to New York to catch a Astros-Yankees game.
Very professional.
Which was amazing, even though we lost just the experience.
Did we lose that one? I thought we won that one.
No, we lost that one. We won the day before the day after. Apparently they still don't like Altuve there. Don't know why. So.
he's really the nicest person on the whole team.
But we wanted to catch up and do a couple of things. Mainly was work on or just talk about our Love and Legal Tech series. We had eight couples on. I thought it was fantastic.
I really did. And I really liked your compilation that you put out yesterday. Yeah. So I think that was very nice. And
yes.
It's like I was telling you, like, the more I see them, the more I just – like, think how great it was.
Yeah, it was fun because it was a wide variety of different couples. But I mean, a lot of the stories kind of, you know, repeated.
There were a lot of similarities. That's, you know, in terms of, like, you know, it's really necessary to communicate a lot and all the time and sort of the work-life integration and how, you know, and it seemed like a lot of them, it's like, yeah, you know, we talk about work all the time. Some couples said, okay, we try not to.
Yeah.
And there are certain
instances. I think they were lying.
And, well, in some instances, I don't think I think it was true, particularly where they had other things to focus on.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, some did, but, you know, some really didn't. Some were just like, you know, that's like, this is the nicest thing to be able to have somebody in the same space and be able to talk to about, you know, the challenges and the good stuff and have them really understand.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, I'm married to someone who's also a librarian, even though they're an elementary school librarian, but there are a lot of things where
I'm not going to make any comments.
We don't have to. Yeah, but there's a lot of code that we know. We know the language that's involved in that. And I think a lot of our guests talked about that it was really nice because you did not have to explain to your partner the nitty-gritty details that were involved in what you were doing. There was already a level
of understanding.
There's
like a shorthand.
Mm-hmm. I did, and you were not able to do this one, but the last one I did with Alexis Heyman and her husband, and I'm drawing a blank on his name all of a sudden, but and I put this into the little clip was you know, it was like, if I don't want to talk about it, I'm just going to tell you that Jeff.
Yeah, and he was just like, I love when people are direct.
Yeah, I love when it happens. So for the audience, if you haven't caught up on all of those, and I have looked at the stats, and I know some of you haven't, it's a great series. I think even if you think that doesn't relate to you, I think it still does. It's really about communication. And I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I always I like to say all problems are communication problems.
True.
And, you know, living with someone that you either work in the same industry or some of them worked in the same company, when you're around somebody 24/7, working out those communication details is super
yeah.
important.
Like I said, it was a masterclass in communication. I mean, I was just amazed at how these guys were so mindful about, you know, sort of how they approached this. And it's like they're not constantly like arguing all the time. And, you know, I also said in my LinkedIn post, you know, it was really infectious when they're talking to you about sort of their passion about what they do. You know, a lot of these folks that we talked to were, you know, startup people. And, you know, you could really get that sense of energy. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the next segment. And actually, we just got finished watching a webinar with Toby Brown and
Ian Wilson. Servient.
So everyone on the show, if you don't know, Toby's a good friend of ours. And
full disclosure.
Yeah, full disclosure. It doesn't mean we always agree with him, but I think there was a lot of things that he talked about with AI tools and processes, eventually cutting into the hour and the profits of law firms. I think it's I know he loves the fact that it's a little controversial saying that, but you know, it doesn't take a big leap of faith to think, well, if it's only going to take me 10 minutes to do something that would normally take me 10 hours to do, and I'm billing by the hour, that's going to be an issue with the way that we are set up as an industry and as a business. So.
And yet if you, you know, as they mentioned, you know, as Toby mentioned, like if you don't adopt it.
Somebody will,
and they're going to cut you out.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times. And I laugh because you and I had a presentation to the Hall Group, which is the Houston Association of Law Libraries, back in April. And our presentation was, we are now in the trough of disillusionment when it comes to AI. And lo and behold, Gartner comes out with an article last week.
I saw that. I was saying, they copied us.
Yes, it says, we are now in the trough of disillusionment in AI. So, and that sounds bad when you think disillusionment, that, you know, that's a bad thing. I think what we're seeing is the rubber hitting the road as far as AI tools. It's no longer this, wow, I think it can do this, this, and this. And now we're actually going, okay, well, we've got our use cases. Now let's actually put it into
production. Yeah, we're starting to move from the like experimentation to the, you know, actual, you know, how do we implement this in a commercial way?
Yeah. And so, and I think speaking of Toby, he was in a Bloomberg article today, I believe, or yesterday, along with David Wang from Sonsini, who just announced that they were implementing a contract review AI tool that had a 92% accuracy rating.
So it's an agentic process, I believe.
Yeah, so, and hold on to that thought.
Yep.
If you don't know what agentic means, basically it's the AI agents, which is kind of the new buzzword when it comes to how you're going to be able to leverage AI in multiple ways at once. So it's really kind of interesting, and I'm going to actually show an example of that here in a little bit. What's your thoughts on, I mean, we can kind of tie Toby's presentation to Sonsini's announcement this week. Got thoughts on what you're hearing?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was seeing this because I do think this sort of agentic workflow idea is really interesting. And I spoke a little bit about this when I was at ARC National in Brooklyn, two weeks ago. And it is reported to be more accurate, and it can use other tools that are actually hard-coded tools. So if you're concerned about Gen AI touching your content, you know, there are ways that you can do it so it doesn't for certain types of tasks. It was, and I'm sorry, now I'm blanking on his name. Sue is, I think, the last name, and it was AI Brain. He's and he basically said this is basically agents are like the next big thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you had the aha moment during when Gen AI came out, like this is going to be like that because it exponentially makes it better.
Yeah. So I think before we get to the agents part of it, I do want to. There was one thing that Toby mentioned right at the very end that I think. It was interesting because someone in the audience was from a personal injury.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And a lot of us don't deal with personal injury lawyers and those style of firms. It's it's different than the big law. But Toby had mentioned
totally different billing structure.
He was like, "Hey, thumbs up to you. Let's keep
your contingent fee.
Yeah,
go for it."
Well, and that made me think. You know, one of the things that a lot of firms get a huge bump in revenue year over year is contingency fee matters. And they tend not to take those because there's a high risk. Obviously, the amount of time that you spend.
Because you couldn't figure it out so much so easily before. But
So I'm wondering, could there be, I could see splitting, maybe even splitting off a section of your litigators to focus on contingency fee cases and being able to take more of those, use the AI tools to really reduce the amount of time and even evaluate. So,
because these litigation investment companies, I mean, that's what they're doing in terms of like, okay, where's the risk?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, even with using Gen AI tools, I mean, you have a greater capacity for trying to figure that out. And then, you know, just internally, and firms could do that. I was really interested about the staffing, because I think that's been a big question. I've just seen a lot of kind of buzz about that. Like, you know, what is that going to look like? You know, are we going to all be out of a job? And you know, on the business side, or what are the new jobs that are coming through? So I really appreciated kind of that conversation, particularly when, you know, Ian posed, well, you know, are firms really positioned to hire, you know, all of these engineers?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the answer was no, for a number of reasons, but one of which is that the top talent isn't going to want to go to law firms. They're going to want to go to tech companies.
And yeah. Well, and they want to go to tech companies because they can get stock.
Well, they can get stock. They, you know, there's greater potential for making a lot of money. Mm. And if you kind of have that mindset, you know, if you have that entrepreneurial mindset, you know, that's kind of how you're driven to sort of make things, build things, and, you know, not get kind of stuck in the, you know, the quagmire of getting approvals and things like
what?
That.
No, in law firms?
It's necessary, but
yeah.
Yes.
If salespeople think the sales cycle is really long, the development cycle on internally is even longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, you're right. Can law firms acquire the talent necessary?
And, but it was cool about, like, there's going to be different types of talent.
Yeah,
like,
true.
There's
subject matter experts.
Yes.
I think that's one
yes.
of the things that they hit on a lot that I don't necessarily think law firms are really.
Like aligning, I don't know if you want to call it innovation, but, you know, aligning innovation with practice, you know, practice groups and kind of becoming subject matter experts, as you said.
Right.
You know, in that space.
And again, I think both of them hit on the topic that this is a technology. But it is not a technology issue. It is much more of a process. That's why you're going to see your subject matter experts getting involved. And I think the firms that see this as technology only are going to be, you know, just hamstrung.
You're going to need more people with more people skills as well, because, you know, you're going to have that empathy. You're going to have that ability to, you know, work with people and kind of work with change management and get them, you know, using some of these tools that might be, you know, unfamiliar with them.
Yeah. Well, you're going to need people like in Office Space where the guy's like, I'm a people person.
Awesome.
All right. Let me think. Oh, I've been playing. So a couple of cool tools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've sent you some examples
you did.
Of this. There is a tool called Udio, which is basically audio. If you drop the A, Udio, mm-hmm. .com, which makes music. You give it a prompt, and it will create music for you. So I don't know. I can't remember if I mentioned this on the podcast last year, but I oversee conflicts at my firm. One of the things that I do before summer starts is I send out a notice to the entire firm that if you're going on vacation, you should let the conflicts team know, because if you don't check conflicts for a certain period of time, you may get into trouble. If you're on vacation, there's a waiver process for that. And so last year, so this would have been 2023, I had AI create song lyrics about what would happen if you didn't check your conflicts. This year, I had it actually write a song. And I think what I'll do is, before we have Jerry do the outro,
yeah.
I will put in a snippet of my song.
People can hear it?
It is fantastic.
Grammy
award winning. Mm-hmm. No, it's I've enjoyed playing with it. I
heard it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and for something that
something like very dreary, and people are like, I don't want to hear that. It's like it's lighthearted, and it makes people smile, and makes it a lot less tedious.
Yeah, so
which is what you're trying to do.
I'll put a little snippet of that song toward the end. But I did want to see some agents.
Want to see some agents? Sure, I want to see some agents.
All right. Well, I will try for the audio only people. I will be very
explain things.
Yeah, I will break things down.
See
is
how
what
you
we're
do.
Doing. If you're watching this on YouTube,
right, where am I looking? Am I looking over at the screen once you?
Yeah,
pull
I'll put
it
this up on the screen. So I'm going to share my screen. So here's. When we talk about AI agents, or you may hear it referred to as agentic AI, really what it means is that you are able to set up tasks and assign those tasks to different instances of AI. And in fact, it doesn't even necessarily have to be AI. And some of it may be a local Python script that's mm-hmm. running that may be processing text.
It's like the tool that I was talking about before. It can use Python to do things.
Exactly. And this has been one of those things that I've been saying for months, in that AI is going to be a layer, mm-hmm. or maybe in some cases multiple layers, within a bigger process. So it's not AI.
Multi-step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not just AI doing everything. So what I've set up, and I did this as just kind of a side project, using Python script, is we're going to do searching on a company, and I think I'm going to use Take 5 Oil Company. Well, I got Jiffy Lube here, so let me change that. And the only reason I'm doing this is because as soon as we're done here, I've got to go take one of my kids' cars and go get the oil change.
Nice.
So I'm going to search on the company name of Take 5 Oil Change, which is the official name of it. And what this tool does is there's a tool in here called Serper, and it will do Google searches. Basically, I'm going to give it some instructions. Mm-hmm. It's going to go out and search Google for information on Take 5 Oil Change. So it's going to have multiple agents. The first agent is going to be basically just an information gatherer. Mm-hmm. This will be my Google searcher. So it's going to go out, it's going to take the instructions that I give it, go out and find as much information on Take 5 Oil Change, and then bring that information in. It's going to pass that off to an agent that will then synthesize that information based on the instructions that I've given it on things that I'm looking for. And here, really, I'm looking for essentially three things. I want to know information about the company itself, just general information. Mm-hmm. I want to know news and legal issues that it may be facing, and I want to find out information about its board of directors or leadership within the company. And once it does that,
those are three different things. So you kind of have mini processes going on doing that to compile it together,
which is
the difference with an agent.
Right. And the way that I'm doing this one is essentially it's going to be doing one task at a time. However, you can have it doing multiple tasks at the same time. Mm-hmm. For the AI agent, I'm going to be using Anthropic's Claude, and I'm going to be using the version that is, it's new, but it's one of the lesser expensive ones, Haiku. I used Opus before, and I'll get into the pricing here in a second. Opus, it makes a big difference. It gathers a lot more information. But Haiku, for what I'm doing here, I want it to be quick. I want it to just come back with good information that I need. The output is going to be two things. One, it's going to have a log of everything that it's done, which is really cool. And then two, I told it just to write a standard report, which is basically a one-pager that gives me the information on the company, If it finds information on the directors, it will give me information on them. And then I ask it also to give me the best guess on what it would be for a NAICS or an SIC code, which is the industry code. So I'm literally going to run this right now, okay. Which is like a big no-no.
Here we go. And let's see.
So I ran it earlier. If you do the Opus one, it could take up to 10 minutes to run because it goes through this very thoroughly. With the Haiku is much lighter and faster, and I found that it actually does it in less than a minute. And what I'll do is I'll go through and explain, looking at the logs, some of the things that it's done and where I think there's some value in a process like this.
So question for you. I know agents can check their own work. You know, they can spell check, they can check facts. Now, is that something that you have to build in, or is that something that's part of naturally part of the process?
Yeah, so the agents that I'm using, and I should have put this up front, I'm using Crew AI, and so it's done. So I think that took less than a minute.
Yep.
And so Crew AI has instructions that you can build into the call. And that would be, well, one thing that you don't want it to do is get into a loop, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you're paying for it. Mm-hmm. So you can set it up so that if it attempts a task, say, five times, you can tell it to stop. Don't do more than five times. That will help prevent the loop. You can also have it go back and forth between the agents. And the agent that, say, the agent that is writing the report, mm-hmm. if there's not enough information, it could go back to the information gatherer and say, okay. Find me more information on this particular issue. And it's doing this all on the fly, and it's using the large right. language model to help it craft what it thinks is the good output. The way that the human that's developing this controls it is through the prompt. And so the prompt lists exactly what it is that you're looking for, what it should review, and what would happen if it needs to review that and if it's not complete. So you still have a lot of control over what the AI agent does. And I always suggest that the first times that you try to do this, run it on the cheap models, because if you do get into a loop, it's, you know, 15 cents is a lot better than $15.
There's not a lot of questions.
Yeah. All right. So
what are you doing?
Let me open up. I'm going to open up the log files. Give me just a second. So here is, and I'm going to open it up in Edge. And essentially, it's going to go through. And I'll walk through this for the people that are audio only here. Essentially, it is giving me the search query here, and it's looking for take five oil change. And then it's going to summarize each one of those web pages that it finds based on its Google search. So it's almost like a RAG type system in that it's taking the information, it's summarizing it. I've got the links here in as well. So here you can see it's looking at Rocket Reach, which is, I think, a company information aggregator. Here's the Take 5 franchise information that it's gathering.
So it gives you the citations.
Yeah.
But just in a group.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so here you can see where it's found. Here's the output agent. So it's Take 5 oil change. And it's actually breaking down. Here's the leadership. Here's the CEO. Here's the president. Here's other key executives. Mm-hmm. So it's gathering this information, going through. And again, this is going step by step. It's going back and forth with the multiple agents and each one having their own task, each one either gathering information, synthesizing the information, or writing a report.
Have you found that it goes to different levels of websites to get its information? Or is it just sort of the top level?
You know, I haven't dived in on that. I'll have to take a look at that.
Okay.
Here's one of the things. Here's where it's like, okay, it's hit this exception. It's telling the agent, said, all right, now's the time for you to start compiling this information and writing it. Now, I'm going to show you another trick that I do with the log files, but let me show you the actual report. So I've looked at a few here. You can tell I've run this a couple of times. So here's the most recent one. So again, I told it just to write a short report. Yep. It's saying the title of the report is Take 5 Oil Change, Driving Convenience and Quality in the Quick Lube Sector. Take 5 Oil Change is a leading automotive maintenance franchise that has been servicing drivers for over 35 years. Founded in 1984, over 1,000 locations. It's a key player in the quick lube industry. And then it gives a little bit more information. It did not, and it's maybe because I changed the script, it did give me the NAICS code. I found that the higher dollar version of the LLM does a better job at identifying that one. So, for example, this found that it as a general automotive repair, the more expensive LLM actually found that it was oil change.
Which makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it can make a big difference in that. So, it's not perfect. I just want to show what the agents can do. But I did want to do this. I'm going to take that log file. And so let me go back. So here's the log. I'm going to just copy the entire log file. And I'm going to go, and for this one, I'm going to actually use Gemini, which is the Google's. And I'm just going to say, review the following log file for any potential legal issues. Get that out of the way just for a second. And then I'm just going to literally just paste the log in. The nice thing with Gemini is it has a large context window. Mm-hmm. So even though that was multiple pages of documents, you can see it. So I'm going to run this. And so there you can see. So it's saying the log does not reveal any major legal issues. However, that they can gather from the log that there's financial performance, customer satisfaction. So potential areas of concern. Mm-hmm. I will say that I ran this using the Opus version, the more expensive one, and it located about 6 different legal issues that it found. So there is output differences between the different models, mm-hmm. and so your mileage may vary. So change your LLM every 10,000 miles.
That's right.
But it's just a number of things that you can do with these tools. So, again, agents is just a
and
way.
And what are you using this for? What's sort of the?
A lot of this we were talking about pitches. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking to pitch to a company, this can get us some very quick information. So I don't think it's as good as what you would get from, say, a Hoover's or a Capital IQ or one of the high-dollar ones. But if you're looking for something quick, you're looking for something current, you don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. If you get one of these, you pop the company in, you get the output. At least you can get that first step out of the way and identify some things very quickly. So, thoughts?
I think it's pretty cool. I'm very bullish on agents at the moment, having learned more about them. And, I like the fact that this sort of does multiple things for you. I like the fact that this one doesn't, but it can check its work, mm-hmm. Because again, one of the hangups, the consistency and the accuracy, like that just continues to be a problem with just using sort of straight LLM models. And also, the security. Now, you're running this outside your firewall, right?
Yeah.
But I know you can run them inside your firewall.
Yes. So one of the things that I have tested, and I'm speaking as Greg Lambert, not as the chief knowledge officer.
My opinions are my own.
My opinions are my own. Is that you can run open source LLMs on a laptop, mm-hmm. It can be extremely slow, depending on what your laptop is. Where I'm seeing some potential in that is probably in running them in a cloud, a secure cloud environment. Mm-hmm. So if you're in Azure or you're in Amazon's web services, and it's secure, for pennies an hour, you can run LLMs for use cases.
I'm also curious. I mean, I'm guessing you could batch it too. Since this is multi-step, I'm guessing you could ask it to, do multiple ones at the same time.
Yeah, I totally see that you could do that. Right now, I've just got this one set up to do one at a time, but it's just more just for a sample of
it's just changing instructions.
So. Yeah, yeah. So
very cool.
Very, I think there's a lot of potential. I know there's going to be, there's a lot of press out there on agentic AI. Even I, having known what agents were, it just doesn't sound right to me.
It's like when you're talking about it, like it's actually you get tongues.
Agentic AI. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. I think that's.
That's good. Great, great live session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let's test you to see if you can do the outro.
No. All right, let's try it. We don't say thank you to the guests. So it's like, thanks to you, our listeners, for taking the time to listen to the podcast. If you enjoy the show, share it with a colleague. You can reach me on LinkedIn, and I think you can reach you on LinkedIn too.
Yeah. Yeah, LinkedIn's pretty much all we are anymore.
Yeah, lately, we were doing all the other ones, and I'm like, yeah, I really don't look at it anymore. Sorry. LinkedIn is it.
Yep.
So.
All right. And so, again, Marlene, thanks for this impromptu session. And the music that...
And as always, the music you hear is from Jerry David Disick, although we're going to hear a little bit of music from Greg.
Just a little bit.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I'm far away. Strolling through Paris, savoring croissants, wandering ancient streets, chasing my wants. But in goes my email, Greg's back on the line, reminding me to check conflicts one more time.